You know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so there's no better place to shop this Christmas season than at KGOV.com. Go to KGOV.com, click on the store, and take advantage of a special 25% discount on a variety of Bob Enyart products, apologetics, Bible studies, both audio and video, Bob's amazing debates, teachings on the New Testament, the Old Testament, parenting, pro-life resources, and of course, Bob's tremendous resources on science. It's a 25% discount now throughout the Christmas season at KGOV.com.
Warning, warning, there's truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live in studio. Greg Jackson, we just had a great talk with Rebecca Kiesling.
Yes, we did. She's quite a woman.
Yeah.
She's exceptional. Rebecca Kiesling, conceived in rape, pro-life spokesman. You've probably seen her on TV, heard her on the radio. Mm-hmm. She's the exceptions. Everybody says, well, we have to have exceptions. You know, I'm pro-life with exceptions.
Right.
She's one of the exceptions.
And she says, did someone have the right to kill me?
And it's a tough one to answer.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody look her in the eyes and say yes.
Very good point. So yesterday, you and I interviewed Rebecca, and when we ran out of time, we just kept talking, just the three of us. So it wasn't with higher energy like you naturally have when you're on the air. You know, we're just talking. We asked Rebecca for her permission, and she said, sure, yeah, you could air it. So we're going to air right now our continued conversation from the end of yesterday's program with Rebecca Kiesling. Rebecca, now it's just me, you, and Greg. Could you finish? What were you wrestling with?
Okay, so they wanted me to testify before the legislature on the heartbeat bill in Ohio. And I've been asked other places where they have incremental legislation, which I don't believe in. There's this question of a rape exception being brought in. And it's tough because from my perspective, I don't want to see these rape exceptions added. It's such an honor to have the opportunity to speak. I mean, more than just an honor, it is just an incredible opportunity.
Sure, right,
to shape their hearts.
Right.
Forever.
Right.
Forever, you know?
Sure.
And if I can get them to be 100% pro-life, even in cases of rape, then hopefully they'll be 100% pro-life with their attitudes, and
right. They'll
remember me, and I'll be a person of influence over them through legislation.
And Rebecca, we've had to deal with that, right? I'm a spokesperson for American Right to Life, and there have been state laws that we have supported, even though there are some politicians who are trying to corrupt them and say, except that you can kill these kids under these circumstances. So what we do is when we issue our press release and our statements, we say we support this bill as long as it remains principled and never is amended to kill a single child. If it's amended, then we're on record. We will oppose this bill. The heartbeat bill in general.
No,
right?
I agree. I'm not for incremental legislation.
Yeah.
I've told people this is not the right approach. You know, I'm not supporting it. I want to be able to have a chance to be able to testify before these legislators.
Right.
So that they don't add a rape exception.
And Rebecca, have you thought through that some incrementalism is good? That there is good incrementalism?
Well, yeah, because I tell people that, look, personhood is incremental. Because you're going state to state, and it's not in one fell swoop.
Sure.
I tell them that praying outside of abortion clinics is incremental.
It's incremental. Amen.
Good point, Rebecca.
And supporting pregnancy centers is incremental.
Amen.
Defunding Planned Parenthood is incremental.
Yeah.
But they're not compromising on the basic principle that all are worthy of protection.
Yeah, here's
that you don't provide a means to an abortion.
Amen. Here's a list at American Right to Life on good and bad incrementalism. Incrementalism that is good. It's not compromised. Fetal crimes bills, as long as they're not compromised. Divesting pension funds. A parental involvement in medical care, as long as it doesn't affirm abortion. Born alive infant protection, as long as it's moral, as long as it doesn't say, but you could kill the baby if you could kill it in time. That kind of thing. Prevent insurance coverage that would pay for abortion. Prevent the funding of abortion. All those things are principled incrementalism.
Because they never consent to the intentional murder of one child.
They never say, but then you could kill the baby if you meet these requirements. That's the line. And so any law that doesn't abide by that principle will backfire. And so let's take the heartbeat bill, for example. Let's say it became the law of the land. It was in the U.S. Constitution. As soon as there's a heartbeat, you cannot kill the child. That's it.
That's determined by the abortionists, too. They're very honest.
That's a good point. But what would likely happen if that were the law is that more unborn children would be killed because we're not saying that the baby has a right to life. So that chemical abortifacients, Plan B morning after pill, would be dispensed in the middle school vending machines. It would be everywhere. Young girls would take those things.
Because you've compromised the principle, the main principle. You've abandoned it.
We haven't said that the baby has a God-given right to life. We've just said you can't kill it after this point. And so when we say that abortions have gone down in the last 20 years, that's almost certainly wrong. Almost certainly, the number of kids killed has increased significantly because of chemical abortions. And so we have this crisis that we've wasted decades by not fighting for the God-given right to life.
So I believe that. I mean, that's where I'm at, okay? I'm totally with that. But having the opportunity to testify on a bill where I don't go up to say, and I want you to support this, I want you to pass this bill, but if I go up just sharing my story...
Oh, I agree with you.
...and why you should be 100% pro-life.
Yeah.
As long as you're not endorsing the heartbeat bill.
Yeah, and I think you can draw that line, Rebecca. I agree with you. You get to go on Bill O'Reilly's show. I mean, he's a child killer. He doesn't like late-term abortion, but he advocates all other child killing. So he's a child killer.
Yeah. There's a lot of legislators who, you know, would gladly sign legislation that says that you can't have a navel showing while a baby is being killed.
Right.
And there's fiscal conservatives who have no problem defunding Planned Parenthood because, you know, it goes with their fiscal beliefs.
Right.
But they would never dream of outlawing abortion.
No, they'd fight against it to the death.
And I'm not going to go out and say, hey, he's pro-life.
Right.
I mean, I have a governor right now. He says he's pro-life, except in cases of rape, and he's signing incremental legislation. And he's signing legislation. He's going to sign legislation to defund Planned Parenthood. And I guess he did already on that one. But he's the one who funded the effort to amend the Michigan State Constitution to repeal the ban on destroying embryos for research purposes, and which provides funding for ESCR. People say, oh, he's pro-life. He's not pro-life. He's not, you know.
Right. Well,
and
Bush,
if he ever runs for president, I'm not going to say, oh, he passed this little bit of legislation. That doesn't make you pro-life.
Right. Rebecca, two things I want to ask you if you've seen from us. One is a documentary, Focus on the Strategy 2. Do you know if you've seen that, Focus 2?
No, I haven't seen it.
Could I send you a DVD? It's online.
It would be great.
You can see it online.
You'll love it, Rebecca.
It's a DVD.
Steve Dace, and you know Steve because you've been on his show. Steve sent it to me in 2008. He FedExed it overnight. He said, you have to watch this video because I was an incrementalist at the time. I was in charge of regulating abortion. I believed in the exceptions and all this stuff. And when I saw this, it totally changed the way I thought about the issue, and I could see inherently why the pro-life strategy for the past 40 years has been an abysmal failure.
Oh, yeah.
I think when you see this, this is going to further reinforce the way you think about these issues and just the abysmal failure that the past 40 years have been. Hey, I want to encourage you to, Rebecca. I really do mean that. I have very few people that I refer to as heroes. You are a hero. That you are going out and taking the slings and arrows, and I believe that God is using your life in such an amazing way. Just that appearance on CNN when you opposed that,
that was
Gloria Aldred, that was like a God-orchestrated moment. You see it rarely in your life. The way you handled her, but also, in my opinion, a gospel opportunity that people saw for maybe the first time how a real Christian that lives out her faith acts in public. In other words, you didn't condemn her. You were patient with her. You exhibited all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, loving kindness, gentleness, self-control. And it was such an amazing opportunity, I think, mostly for skeptics or people that bought into the whole exceptions lie that's been perpetuated ad nauseum for 40 years by the Republican establishment mostly, right? Why we should keep abortion legal. I think that that appearance that you did on CNN and others, I've seen you on Fox, and just the way you handle yourself is such an amazing testimony. And that's what changes people's hearts. When you turn to Gloria Aldred and the anchor and say, so are you going to tell me that I don't have a right to live my life, that I should have been killed? And they can't answer that question.
Wow.
And so
well,
in my
as good as my right to anything as a woman. Yeah, if I don't have my right to live. Can I tell you a little inside story?
Yes.
That day when I was preparing, they contacted me early in the day and they were asking me questions all day long, interviewing me all day long. And then just before I left to go to the local studio to do this interview, which by the way was at Jeffrey Feiger's studio.
Oh.
I don't know if you know
right.
who
attorney,
he represented Kevorkian.
Yeah, right, Dr.
He's awful.
Jeff.
When I was about to leave, this woman said, oh, and by the way, do you have a problem with like having like someone from the opposite side on? Because we just thought that might be, you know, good television. You know, what do you think? And I said, sure. You know, I have no problem with that. And I'm thinking, what a great opportunity. And then as I'm driving down on my way, I'm about halfway there, about a half hour from the studio, I get a call and she says, oh, and you know, I just found out. Yeah, baloney. She
yeah,
says,
I just
found out.
Right.
That the other person is going to be Gloria Aldred. Do you have a problem with that? I'm like, no, it's okay. She calls me back. I'm about 15 minutes from the studio. She says, oh, and I just found out that part of her story is that she was raped and that she almost died at a back alley abortion. Is that okay? You still want to do this? You know, I mean, they knew the whole day.
Of course they said it. Right, of course.
Yeah.
And it immediately came into my head. I just felt like God planted this in my heart. That I really wanted to humanize her child.
Mm-hmm.
And I instantly thought, instead of just mentioning her child, that I needed to mention gender. So I said, I'm so sorry for the loss of your son or daughter. And I knew that I would say that. I had it all worked out that at some point I would have the opportunity to acknowledge the loss of her son or daughter.
Mm.
And so I could really humanize that child.
Wow.
And I had the perfect opportunity. And again, it was like, I do think it came across as a Christian witness that I'm so sorry for the loss of your son or daughter, you know? And then I said, you may not think that their life matters, but it matters to me. That matters to me, you know?
Wow.
And I'm sorry for the loss, you know, for generations.
Yeah.
So I felt like it was a good God moment.
It was a tremendous,
you know?
Tremendous segment.
I can't remember if you did it, but when you were talking to Gloria Aldred, did you tell her that you believe that that child is in heaven? Can't
no.
remember if you said that. And I'm not saying that you should
no,
or shouldn't
I
have said that. But what I do think is that it's such an amazing opportunity that God has given you to share biblical truth with people. I've had family members, people that I know personally that have had abortions, and they think it's like the unpardonable sin. And they deal with that guilt and they have flashbacks. And I think that one effective thing that we as pro-lifers don't say often enough, this is why I always encourage pastors to talk about the sanctity of human life and abortion in general, because even though women are saved, or maybe they might not be, they still deal with incredible guilt, flashbacks, even men that have been involved. And while they've made a proclamation of faith, they still haven't acknowledged the fact that they've been truly forgiven for that and reminded that those children that they aborted are in heaven, which is, I truly believe that that's what the Bible teaches,
yeah.
that those kids wouldn't be condemned to
no,
hell.
Right, right.
That they're in heaven and
we
that you're reunited.
We have
and
a
what
Bible
an
study
amazing,
on that, and it's great. It's fun.
And that's an amazing opportunity to give people hope, because don't you agree, Rebecca, that a person like Gloria Aldred, imagine the guilt and the shame, or any woman that's had an abortion, they spend their entire lives with hardened hearts saying, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a woman's right to choose and all the other shibboleths that we hear repeated and regurgitated all the time. But the fact of the matter is that if they just knew that those children are in heaven and that they could be forgiven by accepting Christ as their Lord, that he would forgive them of all of their sins.
That would reach many women.
Yeah.
You kind of have to have a chance to say more than that all at once. Because
yeah.
there are a lot of Christians who I've heard from and I've read this kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
that they feel like, well, this is not an issue to really worry about because these children are going to end up in heaven anyway. And for some of them, if they had been born, they might not have ended up in heaven.
Yeah. And could I give you a quick response to that, Rebecca?
Well, I'll tell you how I respond.
Yeah,
I respond with Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12, that we have a responsibility
to rescue those. Right. Number one,
never do evil that good may come of it.
Absolutely right. But also, God doesn't only love the baby. He also loves the parents. And so the parents who kill their child, their hearts become increasingly hardened against God. So what? Kill the baby so the baby will go to heaven and the parents go to hell. God loves the parents and the children, and he says, do not kill the innocent.
And Alan Keyes makes the point, and I think quite eloquently, and it's on the website, Rebecca, last year when he gave the speech at the banquet,
Colorado Right to Life,
that it's worse than that. Because when you kill a child, you're killing a child that's made in the image of God.
Right.
And so you're actually committing a crime against
God. So they're talking about the kids who are going to go to heaven, whereas the entire culture goes to hell. The nation goes to hell. The world goes to hell in the shedding of innocent blood.
So, here's a little pet peeve of mine, Greg, that you just said, and you actually said it earlier, Bob.
Yeah.
You use the word that, a child that's going to be. You need to use the word who.
Wow.
Okay?
Thank you.
Is an adjective. That, you know, I mean, that's a word that's used for a non-living, you know, object.
Right. It's a neuter.
And you used the term earlier, Bob. You used the term it.
Ah, and I did?
Yes, you did.
I accept
you
the
did
rebuke.
During your interview, I think.
I accept the rebuke, Rebecca.
I tell people all the time, you need to humanize the child more by taking the time to say sons or daughters.
Amen.
I say
You're right.
The doctors testified in the frozen embryo case when I represent the mother in Michigan's, quote, frozen embryo case. These are the fertility doctors who
Amen.
Are destroying them on a regular basis. They testified that from conception, they are literally male and female and ascertainably so.
Right.
And so we're not talking about an it. We're
they
talking
have,
about he or she.
They have an X and Y chromosome or two X's. And so if our eyesight was good enough, like God's is, he could look at the baby when the baby's just one cell, and he could literally see it's a little girl or it's a little boy at that moment. At that
you
moment.
You just said
of,
it again.
Oh,
you just said
well,
it again.
You're right. You're right. Now, Rebecca, I'm going to have to train myself.
She's on her A game.
Because, yeah, I like that. Because you know how, you know, the Bible says that the wounds of a friend, precious are the wounds of a friend. So when we correct one another and rebuke one another, it's good. It's a good thing. So thank you, Rebecca. Mm-hmm. But you know how we say it's a boy, it's a girl, right? So I got to work on that.
I hate it's a child, not a choice. He or she is a child, not a choice.
I got to work on that. So thank you very much. But now,
and this is scriptural because God said male and female, he created them.
Amen.
Wow.
On day number six.
Wow. At creation, God made us male and female. So even at the single-celled organism, he or she is a boy or a girl. Well, wait, he's always a boy and she's always a girl. So, all right. Rebecca, it's fun. Hey, Rebecca, do you know when the baby's first cry is? It's in the fallopian tube. I got this from Dr. Joel Brind, who's an endocrinologist at Baruch College in New York
City. Yeah, I know.
City.
I know him.
Yeah, isn't he great? He's such
he's
a sweetheart.
Him.
Yeah, and he said this. He said the baby, this is how the EPT test works, early pregnancy test. It looks for not a hormone, a pheromone, because a hormone is a chemical signal from like one organ in an organism to another or from one gland to an organ. But a pheromone is a chemical signal from one organism to another organism. And so the baby releases a cry when he or she is in the fallopian tube. She's saying, Mom, I'm hungry. Get ready to feed me. The little boy is saying, I'm hungry. I'm here. Get ready to feed me. So that's the baby's first cry is in the fallopian tube, headed to the uterus. It's actually a pheromone.
Pheromonal. Right.
Yeah.
It's coming
exciting?
From the organism.
Yeah.
When I filed the pleadings in the frozen embryo case, there were two parts that were filed. One was a breach of contract case, and the other was a custody lawsuit. We filed for custody under the Child Custody Act. And it taught, you know, so much of the law talks about whether a child was conceived during the marriage. It doesn't say whether a child was born during the marriage or whether a child was implanted during the marriage.
Tremendous. Just tremendous. That's exciting. And that's the kind of creativity that is 100% constructive. Versus creativity of how could we carve out how to save 1% of the kids and say, well, you can kill 99%, but we're going to save this 1%, like the ones who are not discriminated racially, for example.
Now, this reminds me that I needed to tell you our new website is up, and we'll be adding a lot more content, but it is up now.
Okay.
SaveTheOne.com, and it's the number one, SaveTheOne.com.
Oh, I just love it. Okay.
Please check it out.
Okay.
Please check it out.
All right. We're going to link to it. And with your permission, Rebecca, we'll let more folks in on this conversation the three of us have been having since we went off air earlier. And last thing I'd like to share with you, and we're running out of time now for this segment too. Last thing is, I mentioned two things. One was that documentary, Focus on the Strategy 2. And we'll send you that link right after we get off the air. The second thing is, there's an article you may have seen at American Right to Life, and it's on abortion regulations. I don't know if you've seen that.
Half a loaf.
No, you know what? One of my favorite things on your website is the burning building.
Oh, boy.
Half a loaf.
That is some article, isn't that?
I would love to be able to have permission to repost that on Save the One. I have an awesome burning building graphic, by the way,
ooh,
that's going to be posted.
It's on
the Save the One Facebook.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca.
You have permission, by the way, being a spokesman for ARTL, I guess I can give you that, right? So, yeah, Rebecca, of course you have permission to post that. And I can't wait to see the burning building image.
Rebecca, Save the One. What's the main message that people are going to get when they go to Save the One? Is it .com?
Yes.
So what's I love the title, because it's so contrary to what we've been told. We've been told, you know, slaughter the one to save the 99. But what you're saying is, no. Jesus went after the one. He left the 99.
I love the
What's the main message?
The baby and the sheep with the shepherd's cane. I love it. Save the one written in the clouds in the sky.
So what's the main message that you want to convey?
You're looking at it now. Isn't that awesome? And it's got the Bible verse underneath from Matthew.
It's gorgeous.
And Jesus, people don't remember this, but when he was sharing the parable of the lost sheep, he was specifically talking about the little ones. Do not despise the little ones. And he said at the end, for your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost.
Mm, wow. It's very exciting.
And then there's other graphics that will be there that you don't discriminate.
Wow. Praise the Lord. All right, Rebecca
Kiesling. You don't punish the child for the crimes of the father.
Amen. It comes right out of God's word.
Well, this is why your website is going to be so important, Rebecca, because you're dealing with the most difficult objections. These are the golden calves, or what do you call it, Bob, of liberalism?
Well,
the
exceptions are the window to the soul. Because when a leader, when a politician says, I am pro-life, except right there, you know that they're dishonoring God. They're willing to kill some children for whatever political benefit they think it gets them. And that would be like
I understand that they want to show that they care about rape victims. That's really
a lot
of it. They want
Absolutely.
To show they care about rape victims, and they think they have to make this exception.
Right.
When they don't really know how poorly rape victims fare after the abortion compared to, you know, having the child, and they don't realize the humanity of the child.
And also, abortion for
Good
rape
point.
And incest, that's what gave us the abortion holocaust in the first place. That was the Planned Parenthood position.
In Mississippi in 1966,
so you go 40 years later, right? Mm-hmm. 40 years later, and that's the position of the pro-lifers. The same position that Planned Parenthood had. And as soon as you concede, that's their high holy ground. As soon as you concede it's okay to kill one child for some reason, then all of a sudden you have no foundation to stand on, and the pro-aborts will continue to win.
You have permission to repost the ads. There's three ads on the videos page, and one of them is right on the homepage. There's 30-second ads. You totally have permission to use those.
Like the Save the One,
the
convicted rapist,
Save the One.
Don't get the death penalty, so why should the innocent child? That's one of them?
No, those are the graphics, but there's a video on the homepage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's me.
Oh.
And there's also two other videos. There's going to be several. We're probably going to end up with at least 10 videos.
Well, thank you for that. And we'll post that in the show summary for the interview with you.
Rebecca, you know that you have a lot in common with Steve Dace, right?
Well, he was conceived under difficult circumstances. I don't know exactly the details.
Well, his whole family. And, well, you know, he talks about it in the book. When you get beyond Ferris, you can read a little bit more about his. But he's been affected by it, which is, and so they're trying to pass a personhood bill in Iowa right now, which is, of course, where he lives, and he has a lot of influence. And I'm really hoping that you and him and the folks at Personhood USA and these legislators who are going to be, you know, essentially trying to pass this legislation, Tom Shaw, who is a pro-personhood legislator in Iowa, Kim Pearson, and there's this guy, Glenn Massey, I can't remember, and they're in the appendix of our book. They're the last chapter of the appendix. It's their story. And so I really am hoping and praying that you and Steve can, you know, really be aligned, closely aligned. And so that, because it's going to be important for people in Iowa to hear your story again. Well, he's on nationally, but he's also on a couple of stations in Iowa. And it's going to be so important for people, because it's the last, it's the one that people are clinging on to, the last excuse.
Rebecca, did you hear the news this past few days about the pathway in Britain where they've been euthanizing babies, and the babies take on average 10 days to starve to death and dehydrate, and the baby shrinks? I don't know if you've seen that in the news.
I didn't hear about that, but I heard that in Canada, that they're estimating that there's 400-something babies every year who survive abortions who are left to die.
Oh, my. Well, so the pathway in Britain, that I hadn't heard that story in Canada. The pathway in Britain, it was just written up in one of the big British newspapers. It's a mega story right now in England, and it's pretty big here also, where they're euthanizing babies. Well, Denver's Children's Hospital euthanized a 4-year-old boy, Dylan Wolborn. It took him 20 days to starve to death. 20 days. Ugh. It's documented at dylanwolborn.com. The Journal of Medical Ethics has published an article this year, Post-Birth Abortion, Why Should the Baby Live? That's what the article's called. And they're arguing that it should be legal to kill newborns for any reason, just like it's legal to kill them before they're born. So with all this, with all this going, this onslaught around the world, we're not going to win when we say, if you wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby. Or if you get your parents' permission, because you concede the whole argument.
And liberals never concede the main premise of their argument, ever.
Right.
Oh, Barack Obama was 0-32 with gay marriage. And guess what? He ran on it and he won in a landslide.
Right. So, okay, Rebecca, thank you again for coming on the show. Rebecca Kiesling is somebody who leaders have been listening to. She is getting people to listen to principle. And the fact that she's reading this book now, one of the thousands who've read this book.
And gave it the thumbs up.
And we have it for sale here at Bob and Yurt Live. So, Greg, thank you for this book. And it's going to... It's making an impact, because people are realizing, as long as our Christian leaders compromise, you can't win if you follow moral compromise.
You never lose when you're obedient to God.
That's right. Hey, thank you, Greg Jackson.
Thank you, Bob.
And thank you, Rebecca. That was super. And our website, kgov.com.
You know, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so there's no better place to shop this Christmas season then at KGOV.com. Go to KGOV.com, click on the store, and take advantage of a special 25% discount on a variety of Bob Enyart products, apologetics, Bible studies, both audio and video, Bob's amazing debates, teachings on the New Testament, the Old Testament, parenting, pro-life resources, and of course, Bob's tremendous resources on science. It's a 25% discount now throughout the Christmas season at kgov.com.